everybody. Welcome back to this. I'm your host, Shauna Griffiths. And today we're talking to a real leader who is a really good friend of mine. Ryan Sari is someone who worked with me, has become a good friend of mine. He is my absolute go-to for anything digital, digital strategy. And I'm just really glad to have him here. So Ryan, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, I'm excited. Thank you, Shauna.
Yeah, absolutely. So folks, a little bit of context. We are working at an agency together, and Ryan, I knew about Ryan before he was in my group that I was leading. So the group was very much content related. So I had heard about him, this amazing guy, and he worked in the Indiana office. And then my first real exposure was that pitch that we went on to Vegas. It was an airline. I cannot remember the airline name. I don't know if you do.
I do, if you want me to say it.
Yes. What was it?
Allegiant.
Ah, Allegiant. That's right. That's right. I kept going to say Vonage, and I was like, no, it's not it. So Ryan started, we were in this pitch, and Ryan started talking, and I caught myself like just staring at him, like just listening. And I was like, oh my God, wait, he's not just talking to me. It was so good, but it just gave me that first example of Ryan really standing in his strength, being completely confident in what he was saying, and just won over the room. And so that was kind of the foray of us getting to know each other, working together. And so you have evolved quite a bit from then. So you are now a founder of a digital strategy agency, we'll call it, consulting firm, something like that.
Yeah.
Called Digital Zeal. He is also an author and doesn't like the word coach, but is a coach as well. So Ryan, you know, again, thanks so much for being here.
Yeah.
I'd love for you to share with, you know, the audience, like talk to us about your evolution in your career and a little bit of how, the personal part of how you've evolved as well.
Yeah. That's a big question. I think about that Vegas trip often as well, because it was March Madness kind of time. And there was a tournament going on in Vegas. And I remember seeing all the basketball teams wander around in the signage. So every time that rolls around, I think about that, that Vegas meetup. But yeah, so I guess for me, I graduated college in 2007. I took a job at a direct mail marketing place. I wanted to do anything marketing wise that I could find. And they were the first place to really offer me a job in that world. So yeah, junk mail was my job and my introduction to this world. That was 2007. And then 2008 rolls around in the Great Recession. And actually on my 1 year anniversary at the company, there was an email that went out in the morning that said, "Congrats, Ryan, on his 1 year," which happened for everyone on their 1 years. And about 2 hours later, I got called into my director's office being told I was laid off, along with a third of the company. So that was just what was happening at the time, fall of 2008, around the country, really. And so finding a new job wasn't easy either. I went through a process of actually writing letters to every marketing advertising agency I could come up with in Indianapolis. I did this by going to the library and looking up addresses. This seems so long ago when I say library and writing letters, but and really from about 40 or 50 letters that I wrote, there was one agency that said they'd give me a shot. It was really a 6-week trial at near minimum wage, I would say. but it was basically saying, come in, prove you can make a place for yourself, make yourself valuable, and we'll go from there. And so that's what I did for 6 weeks. I figured out what I can do in the agency to fit in, to do something different. And that turned out to be digital marketing. Mm-hmm. There wasn't anyone in that space or handling it or running it. And so that's where I kind of picked up that career, I guess, was because of that. The other great thing about that time was my boss was very big into being intentional and strategic with marketing. He was very off the wall kind of guy. You would never think he was like that, but you know, he taught me what strategy was. So yeah, that was a great, I guess, introduction to strategy, and then kind of this genesis of teaching myself what digital marketing was. I remember giving a presentation about what Twitter was to my agency. I explained to a bunch of people across the state how to create a Facebook business page, you know, things like that that were happening 14 years ago now. So yeah, that kicked things off, and just been on a journey of that ever since, really, of learning more and more about digital, what's new, how do I need to evolve, learning how strategy applies to digital and other forms of marketing. And then personally, yeah, I mean, I don't know where to start there, but that's been a huge journey. My wife and I lived overseas for a few years right after that agency experience. You know, we've been in Indy for 9 years now, since that experience. Have three kids, and yeah, just trying to continuously live the life that we want for ourselves and our family. So
yeah,
lots of ways to go with that, but
no, I love the way you talk about that. And as I'm listening, I'm like finding myself again, like I was in that meeting, just listening, pausing, so, you know, kind of catching myself watching you. But I, you know, I think that as you've talked about your career evolving, and it sounds like you have this innate desire to continue to learn, this curiosity. And I mean, I use the word evolving all the time, but it's actually something that it sounds like you are very conscious about that evolution. You talked about intention. And yeah. I think that, so I do think, it's not something that's the same for every single person, I don't think, but I think that, you know, there are a lot of us who do have that conscious thought of evolving in our careers and our professions. And, you know, it sounds the way you talked about it, that in both cases, you've had like a North Star. It may be similar, but different, but that's been, you know, this constant pursuit.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't have a personal mission statement or vision necessarily for my life, other than it's up to me. It's up to my family to create the life that we want, that no one else is going to do this for me. We only get one shot at this, you know, from a very big picture. You get lots of little shots in between, but one chance to really, you know, design the life that we want for ourselves. So that's caused us to make a lot of decisions that people might think are crazy and don't make sense and don't sometimes make sense. But I would say where I'm at today, you know, this comes out on my birthday, as we talked about over text yesterday.
Yeah.
So as you hear this, I'm 37, you know, closest to the life that I've wanted for myself and my family than I've ever been.
That's amazing. It's amazing. And yeah. I think, like, it's funny, you said that you don't have a personal mission statement, but I think actually, you know, you really, it sounds like you do in a way, and that like you have a North Star of being true to yourself, true to your family. Those are, you know, those are the things that guide you. And, you know, again, like, I think that's a lot of being a leader. The leader that you are is to follow that and to be true to that and pursue that. And that's going to impact the decisions that you make along the way, you know?
Right.
And
yeah.
And I think there is an element, as, you know, an authentic leader, of like making those decisions that you are being true to yourself. You're being true to people around you. And again, I think that is just part of that whole authenticity thing. Nobody looks at you and questions like, well, why the heck did he make that decision? That doesn't go along with what I know or think about him. Or you just truly live your truth.
Right. Yeah, for sure. You know, I the times in professional life when I've been a manager, a leader, and, you know, there's been, I don't know, conflict, maybe relationally, typically it comes from me trying to be someone that I'm not, you know, to be more aggressive than I really am, or to use a different leadership style than really is mine. So yeah, all those different lily pads in life that I've hopped from one to another. Yeah, just being myself and learning who myself is. That's probably a grammatically incorrect sentence, but you know, I don't know. There's almost no better piece of advice that I could give to someone. Yeah.
Absolutely. I love when you said that though, about that, like the times that you've had a challenge in that relationship with others is when you're actually being someone that you're not. And I think that I really just applaud that ability to have that awareness, so that like a lot of times I talk about it as like putting a mirror up to myself, or, you know, to yourself.
Yeah.
And it is those moments where you're like almost feel a little out of your skin. You're like, who am I? What did I just do? You know? Yeah. And so I think that is the whole thing about like trusting your gut and knowing who you are and staying, you know, on that course. You know, you really can't go wrong. I mean, you could go wrong in someone else's eyes, but it comes down to like,
right,
you know, your perception that matters, you know, truly most. So, and I know you said like your role previously when you've been a manager or that kind of thing, but you know, I mean, now you've got Digital Zeal, your agency, and you know, you are definitely leading there. You're leading clients. I've brought him in folks to consult with the with CMD agency where I work. And I mean, to watch you lead, you know, with my team and you know, clients and stuff is really amazing. So would love to hear a bit about like, you know, your creation during the pandemic too. So congratulations on that feat. You started Digital Zeal. But talk to us a bit about that. And, you know, what are your services that you're offering to people, and and, you know, your approach?
Yeah. Well, it's funny. You sent me a question, you know, why did you start this? And I think part of it is that I'm a bit of an idealist, and that's a big reason why. You know, I believe in myself. I believe in my skills and abilities as a marketer, as a digital strategist, but also as someone who has the ability to run a business and develop good relationships with clients and future employees, hopefully, as well. You know, when I made the transition, I was working at a great agency with great people, a great office space, a close friend who I knew before I started there. Not any of the reasons why you would typically make a change. But ultimately just felt like, you know, I had something to bring to the table. That there were things that, you know, I wanted to take out into the marketplace, myself and be proactive about, and actually being able to help people and businesses and brands in a way that was unique to me. Mm-hmm. So that's where the company came from. So there's really two focus areas for me as a agency right now. You know, there's the typical digital marketing agency services that you could probably brainstorm a list of buzzwords and I'd say, sure, I can do that for you. But there's really two focus areas. One is digital campaigns for, sports and entertainment properties. Mm-hmm. So anyone that's basically looking to probably sell tickets or sell an experience, mm-hmm. Is a great partner for me. You and I both have quite a background in that space. And that's why that's naturally evolved into something that, I'm really good at and provide as a service to clients and people that are looking in that space. Yeah. The other that I'm leaning into more, as you mentioned at the front end, is quote unquote coaching. but you know, what I call that is digital strategy sprint. It's a 2-month program where I lead a business or a brand through building out their fully comprehensive digital strategy. So taking you from point A to point F is what I call it, all the way through, you know, determining what channels you need to activate on, what goals you're going to set, how do we determine that you're going to be successful, figuring out what your brand is so you can be true to it, as we've already talked a lot about. So yeah, those are really the two focus areas for me as a business owner and what I'm pressing into as I work with more and more clients.
That's amazing. I just think it's awesome to watch. It's been an awesome experience for me to watch you in your evolution. And I mean, folks, I said earlier, he's my go-to. I mean, I'm totally serious. Before I got my full-time job and I was working, doing marketing solutions and brand partnerships out of SLG Impact, I was like, Ryan was my guy that I would call and bring him into projects. And he's the first that I recommend to people, with so much enthusiasm. And so, I think that the services, like your ability to really impact these, your clients, I mean, I've seen it is so big. And, I also know from working with you and watching you work as your approach tends to be very holistic, and it's like a step back, understand the landscape. I also think your demeanor of being is often really helpful, because I think it's just that being that calm presence and that confident voice, I think is helpful, because I mean, yeah. I'm sure people who are listening to this, there's a lot of people in the sports and entertainment industry who are thankfully part of the community. And a lot of times we get in those situations and there's an event coming up, whether it's virtual or in person, and you're a bit in a panic. Are you going to get what you need? Like, are you going to sell all the tickets, all of the things, right?
Yeah.
Are you gonna hit the deadlines? And I just, it is really, really helpful to have that thought partner in you who has that sense of calm and confidence.
You totally
know that it's going to be taken care of in your hands. And I'm serious.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. Yeah. It's a bit, so you take the nature of an agency, a marketing agency, and multiply it with the nature of sports and entertainment world, and you get a world that's go, go, go. Everything feels urgent all the time. And so I think I just had to develop those skills of some of its personality that just is naturally going to be calmer than other folks. But some of it is intentional to say, how can we take a step back without you also feeling like I'm just passing the ball and like trying to say this isn't important, not worth my time. But how can we actually do our best job by taking a step back, gathering as much information as we can in this world? There's always going to be missing pieces. You're not going to have a full picture all the time, but the best we can do that, the best solutions and results that we're going to find, for our partners in this world. Yeah. So yeah. It's an interesting life for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I just think there's so much value in that intentional dichotomy that you create, that sense of calm in a really fast paced, environment.
Yeah.
Everything is urgent but it also leads me to something that I wanted to ask you about, which is, we talked earlier about you being really curious and, you're hungry for information and you're teaching yourself, and which I always loved about you, love about you, because I know I'm, I have some similar qualities there, and I know I always, really appreciate the, shared knowledge.
But
it is like this information superhighway. It is. Like, I think I've talked to you, and I've definitely talked about this before with Twitter. It's like, I mean, how do you even keep up? It's like, so I'm curious, what is your approach to keeping up? Do you ever feel like worried about not being able to keep up? Like, in this area of business, it's changing so fast.
Sure. Yeah, there's a lot I could say about that. So every year I do student interview evaluation and like an alumni connection thing. With Purdue University alma mater. So they give two students a semester to do their mock interview, then talk to them, give them advice, basically. So one of the things I always say to them, for the ones that are interested in my area in particular, is this field isn't really it isn't about becoming an expert in one thing or another. SEO, social media, analytics, whatever it is. To me, this field is about becoming an expert at learning. When I was in college, there was no degree for digital marketing. There was probably not even a class. But to be, a leader and grow in this space, it takes that intentionality around learning and diving into those areas that are potentially weaknesses or knowledge gaps for you. You know, there's always going to be things that someone will know better than me. You know, I probably know more about motorsports and sponsorship than 99% of the digital marketers out there because of my background. And there's people that know way more about search engine optimization and all those things than I do. But yeah, this is, to me, this is a field about learning. And so that takes, you know, intentionality around the books that you read, the podcasts you listen to, the articles that you choose, you know, to dive deep into. I'll tell you another just kind of secret about me is that you probably know is I'm not that active on social media.
I love it.
I am not the person to sign up for Clubhouse, you know, right when it rolls out. That's not who I am. And some of that is an intentional choice that I make to not dive deep into that. Some people feel the need to have a presence, to be active on everything that comes out when it does. To me, I feel that's just not sustainable. There's going to be things about TikTok or Snapchat that I will never understand as much as I try, as much as a 16-year-old understands those platforms today. I think my job is to understand the tools, the channels, what they can do, their capabilities, their idiosyncrasies, their demographics. And most of that can come from research, from reading, from papers, and from talking to people that do really enjoy those platforms. And, you know, you could survey 10 people about TikTok on the street and they all will have a different opinion about what it is right now. You know, there's people that have never been on it who think it's for teenagers and dancing. My brother, who thinks it's mainly about recipes and getting cooking advice. A guy I talked to who shares his architecture work on TikTok and gets clients that way. So there's always going to be a major information gap on the newest thing or what this or that can do. My job and a digital marketer's and strategist job, I think, is to be aware, to do research, to keep an open mind. And that's, again, why I think strategy is so important. If you do the strategy for digital, you have 80 to 90% of what you need in order to be successful. The tactics, the little things will change as the Facebook algorithm updates or whatever the newest thing that throws a wrench in your plans. But having that strategy gives you so much foundation that, you know, whatever the newest thing is next week, it doesn't shake, you know, your foundation or your ability to learn and to be a great marketer in this space. So I said a lot of different things there, but that's just my mentality in thinking about this kind of topsy-turvy world of digital and social marketing.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it really is when you heard me talk to you about, you know, this like toolbox, right? Your skills.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing with you that I've really appreciated as I've continued to watch you evolve is like, you're very versatile within this space. You know, and I have often, as I've developed my own career, involved my own self, is like, I've always thought of wanting to put more tools in my toolbox so that I can be versatile. And then you can make, I feel that we have the biggest opportunity to, or the largest impact opportunity, you know, to touch something. And I love the way you talked about that. You're not an expert in any one thing per se. But I think, you know, for those listening, really this commitment to constantly learning, you know, is really critical. And it's so funny. Yeah. It's totally true about you not being that much, like, you know, that active on social media. actually, I refuse when social media, I swear I feel like a dinosaur when I talk about these things, but like when social media first came out, I was like refused for the longest time. I did not want to be a part of it at all.
Yeah.
And then I was actually like, okay, I'm going to get on because I actually want to see people's behavior, how they're operating, which can be pretty scary at times. But you know, sometimes I even will, you know, search different people or different hashtags to give myself a taste of what something that's not, it's not just a mirror to myself.
Right.
You know, so I'm seeing the way different people, and it's can be really fascinating the way different brands, you know, and people operate in the space.
Yeah. I mean, that's, and you touched on this, but that's another intentional reason why I don't take on every platform is you can end up so easily in a silo that you think Twitter is this one thing, or you think Instagram is this one thing, and to somebody else, it's completely different because their feed is not the same as yours.
Yeah.
So understanding, the idiosyncrasies and the way it gets used is way more important than me being active on a platform because of things like silos, as one example.
Oh, I love that. I think, again, just for it almost as a little bit of a, what people may assume. And so it's great, especially to share with the audience that you can actually be amazing in a space, have your career in a space, but not actually actively consume it and have very strategic reasons for not.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, it's just been, it's really amazing to me also though, to the way people oftentimes silo, we're talking about silos. So silo digital from social.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to admit, sometimes it drives me bananas when people do that, because it is this ecosystem where they're very related, and you know, I mean, to me, if I say digital, it's inclusive of social, you know, and so I'm curious, like, you know, what do you see in like the way people are approaching that? Do you run into that kind of dynamic where people are trying to separate them and have them on, you know, siloed islands?
Yeah, I think in hung up on like, well, how do you find one or the other? And what's more important is, again, what you said, that it is an ecosystem, that these things live in relationship with each other. We were working on a strategy for an influencer program that was global. And I think one of the countries they wanted to hit was India. And there were some others that were more third world, let's say. I know India's not, but there's other ones. And it was like, we had to look at what kind of internet access do people even have in these locations? So sometimes you start to think about, like, do they use Twitter? Do they use TikTok over here? Like, who do they follow? Well, let's take a step back. Like, do they have access to the internet? Because that's where digital mining really ends or begins, is, do people have access? Let's start with that. Is it high speed? Let's talk about that too. So yeah, it's one of those things that it just has so many, it layers on top of itself. So you know, digital is really the foundational to this world, I would say. And social is a tool of digital. It's a subset of digital, is maybe a better way to say that. Because with digital, you have podcasting, you have platforms like Discord, you know, private communities now that are starting to fall into this world of digital that brands are considering. So yeah, it's all across the board. And again, I beat this drum. That's why a strategy and a foundation is just so important, is the channels are important to reach the people that you want to reach, but it matters less on if it's social or if it's not. When you have those, you know, goals and foundation in place, it's like, where is the people that we want to reach? Where are they at? Are they on social, or are they on a podcast? Or do they have the internet? So yeah, all of those questions are bigger picture questions, are more important to me, I guess, than like, what's social, what's digital. So does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes a ton of sense. I'm so glad you talked about it again. I think like very early in this, I was talking about your ability and your way you operate is to step back. And I think it's a first, right? And to understand the lay of the land, to set that foundation, looking at it in a holistic realm. And I think it's so important, because so many times you see people, they, you know, either they're excited about it or it's the next to do, and it's just like, jump in. And so I think it's a great reminder to all of us to, you know, no matter what it is, especially if it's something that moves fast, and it's like, that actually is like the whole thing about slow down to speed up. I don't know if you've heard that saying, but like, I think that is almost like this personification of, or you are, you know, that saying, your personification of it, the way you operate is to like, slow down. Okay, got it. Then go. And I think it's, no, yeah. I mean, it's a really important thing. And you talk about so many things here, I think, that are really important. And you've also captured them in a book. So as I mentioned, yeah. very beginning, I introduced Ryan, you know, he's also an author. And so many of us want to write a book, but actually writing it is yeah. no joke. So talk to us about a bit of that, like your process and what are you really looking to do with that book?
Yeah, that's a big question. There was two big inspirations for writing it, and then probably two motivations behind the book that I'll give you. So inspiration wise, I just, as I've talked about reading and learning, that's just part of who I am. So I love books. I believe in that saying that, you know, the way you grow is the books you read and the people you surround yourself with. So I read a lot. So that's a big inspiration for me. And there've been plenty of even business kind of books that have inspired me in other ways beyond business too. And the other thing, just feeling like I discovered that I had something. So I found myself, you know, making a lot of the same decks, presentations, explaining things a lot of the same way to people, and often get, you know, someone to come and say, we need a strategy, we need an idea for this client, and had kind of figured out the way that I was going to do that, developed a process for myself. So when I felt like I had something, it was like, I could share this with other people. So that was really the first motivation, was, you know, to simply just help other marketers and business owners. You know, I shared some about my coaching business, coaching quote unquote, and you know, not everyone will ever be able to work with me in that capacity. And so the book is a way for people to gain some knowledge and hopefully wisdom on how to go about building a digital strategy, even if they have no clue where to start. I think that's often people's first challenge is, where do I even begin?
Yeah.
Google gives me too many answers and ones that don't make sense to me. So where do I begin? And I've worked at places with really limited resources, have been a junior marketer without a mentor, or someone to really teach me on this stuff. So that was a huge motivation. It's just, I can pass on a lot of and help someone get about 2 or 3 years more of experience maybe than they already have, just by understanding this process. And then the second one is kind of funny that we've joked about some is, you know, as a digital social marketer, I understand the need to create content and publish content and put it out in the world. But for me, you know, all those formats like LinkedIn articles or YouTube videos, they just weren't really conducive to the way that I think and work and process things. I'm much more deep thinking and internal processor. And so the more I thought about it, the more a book made sense for me as something to create. You know, I'm much more likely to sit down, hammer out a chapter in a couple of days than I am to write a blog post or even a LinkedIn post, you know, that's a couple of paragraphs. So a book was just a fit for, again, for who I am and how I process and think, something that takes time and diligence and reworking and research. So that's how this thing came to be. It's called Build Your Digital Strategy. It's on Amazon under that and under my name. For people that have Kindle Unlimited, you can read for free with that. But yeah, it's fairly low cost as well for people that want to purchase a paperback or a Kindle. But yeah, I don't know. It's just something I'm proud of, something I had a lot of fun doing. My kids love the fact that their dad has a book with his name on it.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So it's been a fun process, and it's definitely attainable. The way Amazon and these other publishers make it possible to self-publish. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think anybody can do it with the right amount of just structure, time, and
commitment,
energy. Yeah.
Commitment. Yeah, absolutely. But I'm just going to pause for a second because it's so, we were talking earlier about your, how you live, like living and working as a leader, as an authentic leader, designing your own life, designing your career journey. And you hit on it again there when you were talking about how you picked writing a book. You did it in a way that was completely, that aligned with your priorities, yeah, your values, with who you are. You know, right, you took this a completely authentic approach to it, which I think is important because a lot of times earlier when you were saying, you know, you had a challenge if you were trying to be somebody that you weren't really, but that also extends to how we do put content out there, what platforms, yeah, we choose to use, you know, for our own handles. And, you know, yeah, I just think, again, as people are listening, we do have the ability, and it's actually pretty, I think it's a necessity to tailor that to a way that it's true to you. And then, yeah, because I think a lot of times people are like, oh shit, I got to keep up with the Joneses. I got to be the net, you know, well, this person's doing that. And so I got to do, yeah, that exact challenge or whatever. And so, you know, again, your approach is deliberate, strategic, thoughtful, intentional. Yeah. And it's just great to see.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And the book is fantastic. And I have sent it and recommended it to tons of people. And I just hear, you know, lots of people, yeah, really enjoy it.
Yeah. I mean, I've gotten great compliments. One of the best one being someone that had Kindle Unlimited. She read it in one night because she, yeah, you know, she got excited about the material and then chose to buy the paperback as well, so she could have a resource on her desk, essentially, mm-hmm, on her shelf, to highlight and keep coming back to. So that was, you know, sort of the perfect compliment for me to hear somebody say they read it, they got excited, and they wanted it on their shelves as a resource to keep coming back to. It's just around 100 pages, everybody. So it's an easy read. You can do it in a day. But yeah, another thing I'll throw out is, so I have a resource for people that maybe just want to know the outline of the book. And maybe what's my general process for creating a strategy. So if you go to roadmap.digitalstrategysprint.com, you can download, you know, what is that 6-step process that I use for developing a strategy. It's also basically the outline of the book.
Amazing. So, well, yeah, we'll definitely share it. And you are providing an article for our blog that we're going to, we're excited about that. And we'll take some stuff from the book, so people get a dose of you that way as well.
And even though I said I don't write blogs just now.
I know you did, but I said we're going to take it from the book. I'm not contradicting. No, but I think also, though, like, I'm going to touch on this before we kind of wrap this up, is, you know, you hear people say it's a marathon, not a sprint. And in your, and I think that as you're talking about writing a book, your career, you know, starting Digital Zeal, even the way you approach, I think, like a campaign, it's not this sprint toward it, it's treating it more like this marathon, right? You've got your before, your start, your during, and your aftermath, your recovery, right? And so, you know, it is an analogy that I think is fitting, but it's also, I think, fitting to you, just knowing you personally as a person who has been a distance runner. And I oftentimes, I write about a lot in Sunday Stories that we have on our blog, I write about things that parallel cycling.
Yeah.
And I'm curious, has there been any, like, what are you, sometimes I'm like, is it my imagination or is there a real parallel here between, you know, for you in that running part of your life, as well as, you know, this approach and the way you, you know, live?
Yeah, I think so. So Shauna mentioned, I think I've run 8 marathons right now and a handful of halves along the way too. I think the thing about that I like about distance running, there's a lot of things, but one of it is when you show up to the starting line on a race day and the, I guess, diversity of people that show up is just striking to me typically. People that you wouldn't have known have been training to run 26 miles. People that have all these different backgrounds are wearing different stuff because they didn't know what to wear for a 26 mile race. It's just striking. So it's, I guess, one of the parallels that I feel is when you take your time and you have an approach and you follow a plan and you're strategic, that anyone can get to the start line. You know, with distance running or a marathon, typically you've got like anywhere from 12 to 20 week training plan that involves 4 or 5 days of running a week. And for me, it's just a matter of just showing up, you know, in the morning and putting in the miles and doing the work and then doing the recovery that's needed to get to the next one. So I think this world of marketing and digital marketing in particular is similar. It's a lot of showing up. It's a lot of doing the next thing that you need to do, and continual learning. Learning about yourself and what your body needs to get to the race day.
Yeah.
Learning about what's changing in the world that you need to know to continually be a great digital marketer. You know, I joke about TikTok and how I'm not really on it, but I still got to know what it is.
Yeah.
I still got to be aware of how it works and how to utilize it. So yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of parallels.
Yeah. No, it's great.
That life. Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of times I think it's, I just think those little relatable tidbits are so helpful. And, so thank you so much for sharing that. And as we're wrapping it up here, I'm going to ask you, if there's one or two takeaways that you want to make sure people, have from our time here today, what would that be?
Yeah. I mean, I've said it, but I think don't take your opportunities to learn for granted. Whether that be people that are in your company already that you can develop a relationship with where they intentionally, you know, pass experience and knowledge onto you. Don't take that for granted. Don't take your opportunities for education, for reading books, buying my book. whatever, you know, I think it's critical, whatever field or place in life that you're in to continuously invest in your learning. I have friends that joke and are like, I don't read books. I don't, you know, I only do this and that, and that's fine. You know, whatever your mode of learning is, embrace that and be intentional about it. And I think that goes the same with just life is, make decisions and choices that align with your goals and the vision that you have for yourself.
Yeah.
As much as you can.
Yeah. As much as you can. It's so true. And I often say that myself about, you know, one life and, you know, really gotta live it and be true to it. So folks, we hope that you've enjoyed this time today. Ryan, you're amazing. Absolutely outstanding. I am so grateful to have you in my journey as a friend, also, you know, as a colleague. And folks, so we hope you've enjoyed this. We also have a special treat. Ryan has agreed to collaborate with me and create a workshop. So we will release a workshop in early May. And we are really excited about it. So stay tuned to hear more. You'll get a dose of what's going to be in the workshop, and how to register. So, Ryan, thank you so much. I'll let you go, Shana. Get on your way today. Have an awesome day.